Welcome to the Evidence Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this January the 24th on the West Coast, now January the 25th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. I'd like to welcome all those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world, and we appreciate whether you're listening to the show live or on an archive, we really do. We want to encourage you to sign up for the bbsradio.com archives. If you would do that under Evident Footprints, you're entitled to archives on the entire network for a period of 1 year. It's really a great deal, and you keep us on the air and help us cover bandwidth expenses. So you can do that just by going to bbsradio.com, go to the homepage, and click on subscribe, and you can sign up for the archives. It's really painless, and it really helps. I have a couple of news items that I'm going to read, but first I just want to say, with all the chaos going on in the world, and all the fear and the insanity being ratcheted up several notches, it seems like on an hourly basis, it's not even a daily basis anymore, with ever-increasing frequency, we'll say, we're still here. We're still here to talk about it. I think that's a reflection of a lot of people who are praying that the evil is overcome on this planet, and one could consider that we are in a state of grace. That's Jeff Lorber and State of Grace. Let him do the talking for us. Consider praying. You'll be surprised how we can change things. Speaking of praying and looking at the recent news coming out from the Western Center for Journalism, these are the folks that are training the next generation of communicators. This is by Jack Cashill, American thinker. During an interview on the KQRS morning show on January 20th, Mike Evans, a longtime friend of Hawaii Governor Neil Abercrombie, shared a conversation he had with the governor the day prior. The reader is advised to judge for himself the credibility of Evans' account, but he sounds convincing. Evans, Honolulu-born and now a Hollywood-based celebrity journalist, claimed that Abercrombie had promised him that when he became governor, he planned to find absolute proof that Obama was born in Hawaii. When Evans spoke to Abercrombie on January 19th, Abercrombie reportedly told him that he searched the relevant Hawaii hospitals using his powers as governor and concluded, according to Evans, quote, there is no Barack Obama birth certificate in Hawaii, absolutely no proof at all that Obama was born in Hawaii, end of quote. After Abercrombie made such a fuss about finding the birth certificate, Evans concluded of his friend that he has, quote, got some egg in the face, unquote. Curiously, too, when Evans asked Abercrombie when he first encountered the young Barack Obama, Abercrombie reportedly said, I remember him playing in a T-ball league when he was roughly 5 or 6 years old. The reader may recall that Abercrombie had told the Los Angeles Times just before Christmas, quote, maybe I'm the only one in the country that could look you right in the eye now and tell you I was there when that baby was born. Or I should say, he said, I was here when that baby was born. Let's think about that for a moment. He was there, but he doesn't say where the baby was born. In other words, he's saying when Barack Obama was born, allegedly August 4th, 1961, Abercrombie was here in Hawaii. But he in no way alludes to where Barack Obama was born. Secondly, let's look at something more specific that he said roughly 5 or 6 years old would have put him, according to Obama's biography, his autobiography, newspaper accounts, and basically the public recorded statements that he made about returning to the United States in 1971. It would have been impossible for him to have been playing T-ball in Hawaii at age 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10. I rest my case on that. One more item now, and this is due to the shakeup in White House staff. Illinois court throws Emanuel off Chicago ballot. This is by Deanna Belandi, Associated Press. We know we can trust them. In this January 4th, 2011 file photo, Chicago mayoral candidate Rahm Emanuel is basically posing for the photographer, Chicago. An Illinois appellate court on Monday threw former White House chief of staff Rahm Emanuel off the ballot for Chicago mayor because he didn't live in the city in the year before the election. The decision cast doubt over Emanuel's candidacy just a month before the election. He had been considered the front runner and had raised more money than any other candidate. The court voted 2-1 to overturn a lower court ruling that would have kept his name on the February 22nd ballot. Emanuel plans to appeal the matter to the Illinois Supreme Court. Early voting was set to begin on January 31st. I have no doubt that we will, in the end, prevail at this effort. This is just one turn in the road, Emanuel said, adding that The people of the city of Chicago deserve the right to make the decision on who they want to be their next mayor. Those challenging Emanuel's candidacy have argued that the Democrat does not meet the one-year residency requirement because he rented out his Chicago home and moved his family to Washington to work for President Barack Obama for nearly 2 years. Emanuel has said he always intended to return to Chicago and was only living in Washington at the request of the president. Pardon me for laughing. It just struck me a little funny. Emanuel is one of several candidates vying to replace Chicago Mayor Richard Daley, who did not seek a seventh term. Emanuel moved back to Chicago in October after he quit working for Obama to campaign full time. Before Monday's ruling, attorney Bert Odelson, who represents two voters objecting to Emanuel's candidacy, had little luck trying to keep Emanuel off the ballot. Court tosses Emanuel off Chicago mayoral ballot. The Chicago Board of Election Commissioners and a Cook County judge have both ruled in favor of Emanuel, a former congressman, saying he didn't abandon his Chicago residency when he went to work at the White House. Odelson had said he planned to take the challenge to the state Supreme Court if necessary. Have I stood down at all? No, I've been confident all along because that's the law. That's the way you read the law, Odelson told reporters Monday. The three main other candidates running, former Senator Carol Mosley Brown, former schools president Jerry Chico, and city clerk Miguel Del Val, have been critical of Emanuel during the race, calling him an outsider who doesn't know Chicago. Emanuel appeared to have gotten a big boost last week when his campaign announced he raised more than $10 million and was endorsed by former President Bill Clinton during an event in Chicago. I'm sure that helps. A Chicago Tribune WGN poll also released last week showed Emanuel with the support of 44% of those surveyed. The same poll found 21% of registered voters question prefer Brown, while 16% favor Chico and 7% support Del Val. Del Val said the appeal court's decision bodes well for the other candidates and voters who may have thought the race was a foregone conclusion because the amount of money Emanuel has raised. Now voters see there's an opportunity to look at the field and give candidates either a second look or, in some cases, a first look. People are going to pay more attention to other candidates, Del Val said. In its ruling, the court said that Emanuel met the requirements to vote in Chicago. He did not meet the requirements to run for mayor because he didn't actually reside in the city for a year before February 22nd. A candidate must meet not only the election code's voter residency standard, but also must have actually resided within the municipality for 1 year prior to the election, a qualification that the candidate unquestionably does not satisfy, according to the ruling. The residency questions have dogged Emanuel ever since he announced his candidacy last fall. Emanuel tried to move back into his house when he returned to Chicago, but the family renting it wanted $100,000 to break the lease and move out early. The tenant, businessman Rob Halpin, later filed paperwork to run for mayor against Emanuel, only to withdraw from the race a short time later. More than two dozen people testified on the residency issue at a Chicago Board of Elections hearing in December. The three-day hearing got progressively stranger as attorneys gave way to Chicago residents who filed objections to his candidacy, including one man who asked Emanuel if he caused the 1993 siege at Waco, Texas. Emanuel's lawyer said he is hopeful the state Supreme Court will take up the case, especially since the appeals court decision was not unanimous. I think the fact that there is a dispute within the appellate court certainly makes the case more enticing to the Supreme Court, but I don't speak for them, lawyer Mike Casper said. And Associated Press writers Don Babwin, Tammy Weber, Sophia Tureen, and Michael Tarm contributed to this report. And I wonder if anyone's ever looked at a birth certificate for Rahm Emanuel. With that, we bring on tonight's guest. He hosts his own talk radio show, now heard Monday through Friday on the microeffect.com. And he is a PhD, a naturopath, author, lecturer, teacher, and frequent guest here on Evident Footprints, Dr. A. Truah. True, thank you for being so patient, and welcome to the show.
Oh, good evening, Don. It's a pleasure to be on the show again, and so much going on, and indeed.
Well, how does all this news strike you?
Well, I wondered what in the world the Chinese president Hu had to do in Chicago. Don't know why he had to go to Chicago
first.
Knock, knock. Who's there? Who? Oh, there's so much happening, with these free trade zones, the conservative movement in the state of Idaho. Utah should be up in arms because Utah is huge free trade zone. Good heavens. This is where it all began. I've been screaming this alarm for at least a decade, Don. I started in with this with my opposition and my investigation into this world's largest gigantic hog factory farm in southern Utah called Circle Four Farms. Easily the world's largest combine, so it's called a CAFO, confined animal feeding operation.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw how massive it was and the contracts for it, I began to trace where the pigs were slaughtered. They were shipped by truck to Farmer John in Los Angeles, where they were shipped and then dried or put packed in dry ice and shipped on sea containers to China.
I'm just trying to equate this with Rahm Emanuel.
Well, it goes back to the whole thing. There's reasons why Hu went to Chicago for 2 days.
Yes.
There's so much going on with this judge role,
mm-hmm.
That I've uncovered now, the connections to judge role. There was this group in Tucson that was investigating in 1997 this corrupt Child Protective Services outfit.
Mm-hmm.
There was a pro bono law firm that was investigating it, filed motions on behalf of a client of theirs that was wrongfully arrested. He was just trying to find his lost child, was suddenly indicted for kidnapping, etc., etc. The sordid trail led to Child Protective Services, to Denver International Airport, to Chicago, Illinois, and to New Jersey, of all places, Don.
Well, that sounds very familiar.
Yeah, I mentioned this earlier on my show today. The New Jersey report, this is in the newspapers. I haven't been able to keep track of it since I did the I do remember reading this and commenting it on my show. These arrests were made from people tied into the Chinese mafia groups that were trafficking in human organs for transplants, for heaven's sakes. $30,000 or more dollars per transplant. And it not only was tied to the Chinese, but doggone it, if these missing children were not also showing up as organ donors, okay? But they weren't dead. They were killed for their organs. Incredible story behind the story.
Yeah, this is. I'm sure you've heard about what's going on with the prisons there, and that's not to say something similar is not going on here in the States. You have a lot of prisoners suddenly dying of suspicious circumstances, and there's never any investigation. We have the highest per capita prison population in the world. In this country, they've turned it into just business and all the interconnected businesses. There's also a religious group, and I can't remember the name, but this is in China, that's been persecuted politically and imprisoned. And many of those practitioners, we'll say, are also used in these organ donor programs. It's a shame what's going on.
Well, you know, I just think it's kind of ironic with this whole case where Judge Roll was absolutely named in this group. And this is before he was federal judge. He was a state circuit judge. He actually ruled and blocked any and all investigations into this Child Protective Service ring. Unbelievable how he was implicated in, you know, covering for these missing children.
Mm-hmm.
Now here he's killed. Also, a little 9-year-old girl is killed. And I don't know if you saw the news reports, but this little girl has her eye, her cornea, her eye, you know, her eyes themselves and other parts of her bodies, you know, have been given as, you know, for transplants right now. And, you know, it's a heartwarming story. They had here on our local news, they interviewed the parents of another little girl that's now seeing because they got this little gal's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so much coincidences going on with this.
Yeah, it's heartwarming to an extent, but when you think that the girl had to die unreasonably, you know, to be murdered to have that happen, that's what's crazy about it.
Yeah, that no happens. Doubt. And, you know, there's so many things happening. I'm reminded of I've told the story, I believe, on this show as well as my own show a number of times of my experience meeting Paul Volcker back in 1984.
Mm-hmm.
When I was back in New York, and going back into my notes, my unpublished manuscript, which I started in 1987 after 3 years of thinking about what I was told, and interviewing people also in positions of authority, Don, I questioned why America doesn't just stand up to these international mobster banksters and do like Lincoln did and just take back our ability to print money. I could see it back in later part of the 1980s that this was critically important to keep America fiscally and economically healthy. And like the founding fathers said so many times, if you pull the rug out of our finance structure, if you debauch our currency, if you debase our coins, according to Jefferson, then the republic would never stand. It would be like being built on a sandy foundation versus a rock.
Mm-hmm.
The rock being solid, you know, coin for coin and monetary policy for trade and merchants, right? Well, you know, Don, this is really what it all boils down to. When I was questioning people, I interviewed a gentleman who was also a governor of the Federal Reserve in San Francisco. I had an occasion to meet him and ask him some pointed questions. You know what? He basically told me in, you know, some very clear language that America, and we're talking about the Congress, the executive branch, the Senate, they really had no choice but to keep the status quo. It was almost as if, well, the example was given to me, it's like Samson in the Bible, okay, the Samson complex. If you remember Samson, he took all of the whole temple down, the whole building with his everybody, you know, took everything down.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was told me that there's some blackmail going on. we're talking about the same people who really control the nuclear buttons, okay? Basically, if you don't play ball with us, then we take not only the ball away, but we take away the ballpark and or the gymnasium, as the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
You have nothing left to play with. Now, I bring this up because of what I talked about on the show today. This completely, you know, I'm convinced without any doubt that there is some very devious HARP technology going on, focused on the New Madrid Fault there in your neck of the woods, from Ohio to southern Illinois on down. Don, I'm just convinced that they can bring this country to its knees and cause tens of millions of deaths if they don't, for instance, raise the debt ceiling, if they don't continue to just keep the incredible flow of money to these culprits.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that at a high level, this is what's going on.
Well, I was asked a question this afternoon by someone who's pretty familiar with the machinations of government on a local level, and, you know, running a city budget and doing the job on a mayoral level. And this person asked me if I could explain in one sentence what's wrong with this country. Basically what I said was, well, we have been secretly enslaved, covertly enslaved through private agreements of which we played no part. And we were conscripted to be obliged at the back end of these agreements at all times in our existence, under the guise of maintaining a republic, maintaining a democracy, they say, maintaining freedom of speech, freedom to bear arms, etc. And it's all done in pursuit of money. It's nothing but a series of schemes, Ponzi schemes and other types of schemes, masquerading as being to the benefit of society. It's a money game. It's all about devising ways to take money until they take all of it. That's all they're doing. That's it.
I read a very intriguing history report a week or so ago, Don, about, you know, the chicanery and the blackmailing going on with the Romanenko family, the Tsar of Russia, and in the early 1900s. And, you know, the Russian Republic was really one of the, if in 1904, 1905, was a superpower, was the really big, you know, they were much, much more powerful at that time than the British Empire. It covered more landmass. They were wealthier. They had more natural resources. They surely had more oil, because they really controlled at that time much of the Persian Gulf area, okay, where the known reserves are showing up now. The Turkish oil company in that time was tied to the Russian czars.
Mm-hmm.
The manipulations that happened was basically done by a group of international banking families. They manipulated the currency to the point where they infiltrated in and got the peasant class to, you know, revolt. They signed off to the Communist Manifesto, where the workers must rise up against the bourgeoisie, the ruling elite, right? And so it followed a specific script.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you just don't do this without money, without a plan, without financing. So you see how the Bolsheviks were tied and funded by the House of Rothschild.
Yes, and the people were led to believe that this was for their benefit in the long
run. Of course, it always is.
Yeah.
And the point I'm getting at, you see the Soviet Union at the end of World War II, the same hidden hand controlled the Soviets as was now in control of America. So you have this great arms race. You have this great buildup where you have all the nuclear ICBMs of Khrushchev and Yeltsin and you know, on down the line. And what do you see in America? Well, you see the power behind Kissinger being Zbigniew Brzezinski and Henry Kissinger. These people are still behind Barack Obama. They're still behind every president, ladies and gentlemen. So I just maintain if they're the same group of representatives that were behind the Politburo in the Soviet Union, who's to say that Eisenhower, who's to say that JFK in their closed-door briefings were just told, look, you know, we can bring missiles right into Cuba. You play ball with us or we'll push some buttons. And what is an executive going to do? You know, risk nuclear holocaust or continue to pay the blood money in the Federal Reserve System? I think that's a logical explanation because, Don, the problems that we're facing right now economically can be traced back to the Federal Reserve. Bernanke himself admitted that they caused the Great Depression. So the question for any rational thinking, honest congressman, congresswoman, or senator is, why put up with this blackmail? Why put up with these billions, if not trillions, of dollars of profit being sucked out of America into these central banksters? The only logical conclusion I've come up with is I think it's just blackmail. Mm-hmm. I really think there's a blackmail scheme going on.
Yeah, blackmail, extortion, and, you know, the path is there. If you look at the Virginia Company, and this is what I mentioned to my friend this afternoon, the Virginia Company's original contract was never nullified. It was always in force. And so there was this subservience as even though we were told we had won independence, on paper we were still a colonial slave to England and to the Vatican. And the secret goings-on between those two entities, and then eventually, as of 1948, the State of Israel, it became clear what the game was. Now, many people don't look at that and give it a lot of credibility, but if you look at the stipulations behind the Virginia Company, I think it was 50% of all the mineral wealth of the states that was extracted, and 5% of all retail business. And you wonder why malls charge the people who are paying rent an additional 5 or 6%, depending on where the mall is and what state it's in, to all the retailers. Where does that money go? Does that go to the company that owns the mall? And who is that? Is it the front man that we hear in the name of the management company, or is it conscripted to someone overseas? And I say it's the latter, actually. It's taxed to death. It's privatized public property having been paid for and kept up, maintained by the public, and that wealth disappears into a vacuum someplace. Then they have to be bailed out with more of the illusory capital, and still with this associated debt that has to be paid. This is just organized crime, Drew. I don't know how else to describe it. It's organized crime. My friend asked me, you know, what about the Justice Department? Well, they're in up to their eyebrows too. Or maybe their scalp line, those that still have one.
All right.
Your comments.
Well, I agree completely. I also discussed on my show, and I want to get your comments on this, Don, is the, you know, these contracts or, in, you know, their information requests from FEMA to have suppliers provide these millions of blankets, these millions of freeze-dried meals, okay? And the last one I discussed was were these requests for underwater body bags being supplied to Department of Homeland Security to go to FEMA. I think this is unprecedented, Don, in so many ways. There's been numerous reports issued about the San Andreas Fault being active. You have the Wasatch Fault that runs here in the Wasatch Mountains of Utah. We have here in Utah emergency meetings all the time. We have neighborhood watches in case of an earthquake. We have it all, you know, basically planned out, but we don't have reports of FEMA getting blankets for a Wasatch Fault earthquake. We don't see them stockpiling blankets specifically for a San Andreas Fault earthquake. But this is happening specifically for a planned earthquake event on the New Madrid fault line.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if the meals are for their sleeper agents.
Well, they're planning for 7 million survivors, you know, homeless survivors, but that means that they're expecting 10 to 20 million casualties. Unbelievable that this is going on covertly without news media being on this like flies on flypaper.
Well, they're part of the whole scheme. They're playing a role. They're just puppets, like the usurper. Just puppets. Wow, what a dark topic, huh?
Well, it's absolutely, you can't ignore it, ladies and gentlemen. It's right there smacking you in the face. And we can have one of two choices. We can go on and just admit that there's, or believe there's nothing going on here. I call this the result of what psychologists would call normalcy bias. You know, the car accident that kills a friend or your son or daughter happens to somebody else. It never happens to you. Okay, no matter what bad news is given, you it's just not normal for it to happen. So you have a bias that it's just never going to happen. Okay, so many people really don't take the necessary precautions, okay, to protect themselves, and that's very sad, because I maintain, as I explained today on my show, that this can be exposed, it can be stopped, and I firmly believe that this is exactly why Senator Ted Stevens of Alaska, ex-Senator Stevens, was murdered, was taken out by a pulse electromagnetic weapon into his plane, just as JFK Jr. was killed, okay? He was anxiously engaged in exposing a plot to destroy America utilizing harp frequency technologies.
Mm-hmm. We could presume that Haiti was an experiment used, you know, for particular advantages in conjunction with the disaster that occurred there. Let's say it was a trial run of sorts. One would presume to have the kind of mass casualties you're describing that they would have to be targeting some rather large cities. People out in the country would not suffer the same consequences. Unless they do something really sadistic, and I don't even want to speculate on that, but, you know.
Well, since you bring up the Haiti phenomenon, are there similarities between what was happening in the Haiti region with what's going on right now in on a direct line?
Well, yeah, the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, the New Madrid fault. Yeah, specifically the mass bird deaths. Okay, there were reports. I think it was 6 weeks before the event in Haiti. There were reports of these mass bird deaths going on there, and as you know, the technology, Don, you heat up the ionosphere with these scalar weapons, and preferably you do it at night when most people are asleep. But you can pulse a plasma beam to a specific area under the ground as these beams begin to work on the crust of the earth and to be able to shift a fault line. Okay, now it's just, you can't just create an earthquake in 24 hours. It takes a number of systematic pulses to do that, and so over time you get these birds that are flying, and they hit this beam. This plasma beam, it basically fries their olfactory structure in their brain, their homing abilities in their brain, and it causes blunt trauma to their brain, and they die en masse in a wave. I think that's a really strong clue as to what's being planned for the New Madrid fault line.
Mm-hmm. Now, many are speculating that this is because of phosgene gas. It's a possibility, but it would have to have been a release in an area that was not populated by people, for example, to have these birds. But I tend to think it's an energy weapon, and I'm not saying HAARP per se, because HAARP would affect a lot of other people. You can't just target birds with it.
Oh, it's not just being a target.
Mm-hmm.
The birds are just like a canary in a coal mine. The birds will go first, and there'll be other signs other lower life forms, other animals can be affected. But again, if you look at the locations of these massive bird deaths and other problems, it is on a direct line to the San or the New Madrid fault line. It does correlate very well. Now,
there were some of these deaths in is it the Bronx in New York, Bronx or Brooklyn, one of the two. And also New Jersey, in different parts of the world, this is going on. So,
Well, again, it's just you don't focus on just one specific area. It's like I explained. It's like these fault lines are fissured out. They have it all mapped out in the seismographic stations literally across the world. So, if you want to focus, and this is some of the detailed work of Nikola Tesla, that he showed how he was saying you could stop earthquakes by having seismographic stations positioned. So when you start graphing the movements, you can focus these scalar weapons at different parts of the country, and then they can indeed stop natural movements. Okay. But see, as you look at Tesla's writings and you reverse that to how you can create the same, you see, then it starts to make sense. That's what I'm talking about. These bird deaths that have shown up, they do correlate to these fissure lines on a triangulation basis. So, yeah, there's a great video that I forwarded on. This gentleman, showed this very well. He's done his homework. I think he did a very good job of piecing it together. I was thinking much the same thing. I just didn't take the time to put the video together as he did. I agree with virtually everything he put together on that. It's on my website, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, atruot.com. You can just go there and see the posting and watch the video. It's a 30-minute video. But the most important part of it is in the first 5 minutes, really.
Mm-hmm. Tesla's technology would have been frequency mediation in nature. So, again, they reversed the process. and probably using his earthquake machine, modified or amplified as well.
Well, I would hope, and I put this out as possibilities, look at the glass maybe half full. Suppose there has been some disruptions in the crust because of certain drilling activities in the Gulf of Mexico. Now, this is another way to look at it. Suppose they are using these weapons to stop an earthquake, you know, rather than produce one. But again, if they're, and Dr. Castle brought the point up very well, he says, well, true, yeah. If their technology is such that they're stopping it, why would FEMA have all of these requests for supplies?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, then again, this could be an increase in food that they want for underground bases. You know, they never tell us the truth about what's going on, so why should we presume that it's for people on the surface? Maybe it's intended to go underground or to Mars.
Well, I don't want to go there, but anything's possible. But no, they specifically say in their request for information that these are for an event, for survivors of an event on the New Madrid fault line. I mean, it specifically says that in their request. And then, of course, in May, they're doing an exercise, again, a planned exercise on that. And that's all right there on FEMA's website.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, we go back to that report that was put out by the University of Illinois. It's called the... Well, there's actually a website. It's Mid-America Earthquake Center, MAE Center. And there you can download this report. And it says right there in the paragraph, as I'm looking at it right now, Don, the work was undertaken by the Mid-America Earthquake Center at the University of Illinois in partnership with the Center for Technology, Security, and Policy at Virginia Tech University. Wow. I mean, that's the headquarters of DARPA, ladies and gentlemen. And so the Center for Technology, Security, and Policy. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a very, very organization, DARPA, that would be utilizing the scalar weapons to cause this thing. If in fact they actually did have that technology. Would you disagree with that, Don? Or?
No, I would agree. In fact, they probably have the technology, which is why they're pushing forward. They've probably had it for 20 or 30 years. And
so,
go ahead.
We see this letter from Tim Geithner that was sent to Congress, to Harry Reid in the Senate, and select, you know, virtually every Congress person and senator got it. And the letter, I shared that with you when it came out, it's all but saying you don't raise the debt ceiling to the point where we want it to be. All of these catastrophic doom and gloom scenarios will be the inevitable result. Wow. Again, it just goes back to
money.
Money, yeah, it does. It's a blackmail, you know, threat of a high order.
Yeah, it's amazing. It really is. Now, Z.S. Livingstone, I don't know if you're familiar with him, Zernova Star Livingstone, up in British Columbia, is very intuitive, and he's speculating that they're using a newly developed microwave maser, which pushes hard against physical objects and etheric bodies. And he's sensing that that has put the birds and the fish at risk. But in reality, what's going on is they're targeting the sylphs, which have been called, and the underwater elementals called undines. Now, I don't know how familiar you are with those. I'm kind of putting you on the spot, but we've had a number of shows that we've done, Ken Adachi and myself and even Z.S. Livingstone, where we've talked about the sylphs. And they're otherwise known as air elementals. You read, look up the word in the dictionary, and it will say mythical creatures. But they're not mythical. We've actually photographed these beings taking on personalities within the chemtrail clouds that are spreading. And it's quite remarkable to see how they appear. And it's a foregone conclusion that this is occurring. We're not asking anybody to believe it, but it's something that we notice has been happening because the sylphs have appeared to dwindled in number over the past couple of months. But that doesn't mean they won't come back. It's they're really messing with nature, what's going on. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of this down the road. But he's been pretty accurate with what's going on that level, and the use of the technology and the way they're disturbing the balance of nature. He's spent many years investigating these things and analyzing them, but through his intuition. And when one comes under attack, one's over the target. So. I don't know if you're familiar with that, if you want to comment on it.
Or... I really don't know about any elemental things like that, Don. I just don't know.
Yeah, well, I can assure you that there are those that have seen them and have been in contact with them, much like one would be with an angel or I don't want to say deity per se, but we're speaking about the good spirits and the helpers that are there in a universal context.
Mm-hmm. So I can't comment on what I don't know about.
So. Yeah.
I haven't seen any elementals, and if I did, I don't know if I would talk about it. I'm not saying that they don't exist. I'm sure that, there's a lot of things that I haven't seen that still exist. Okay,
I'm sure we would agree there are demons, and sylphs,
indeed,
yeah, sylphs are sort of the counterparts, we could say.
Okay,
they're nature spirits. That's the easiest way to describe them, and they abide by the laws of the creation. They've been created for that purpose. To assist in sort of like being, I don't want to say the street cleaners, but mm-hmm. they assist in areas of water and air pollution, for example, and probably do quite a bit in space as well. Mm-hmm. I don't have any experience in that area with them or, you know, any particular knowledge, but I don't see why they would be just limited to a reality in a three-dimensional planet, or, you know, one which vacillates between a two and a three-dimensional consciousness. So, anyway, where do you see things in general now with, you have these, again, these threats being made over raising the debt ceiling or else, and this intentional remapping of the states?
Well, without beating to death, I think an overused term, I think it's best described as endgame. I said this in my manuscript I wrote and authored in 87. Don, it's there just comes a time when you can only expand a debt bubble just so big. I mean, you know about the world economy. You know, we've expanded. We've built China into this manufacturing megalith. And again, this happened, started during the Nixon era when he normalized relations. It accelerated in a rapid pace during the Clinton era. Okay, and so we've got this Frankenstein monster breathing down our neck. I really love what Donald Trump had to say on CNN with Wolf Blitzer. Did you happen to catch that, Don? I think he really hit the nail on the head. I loved it.
Was this something recent or in the past few weeks? Because I think
just recently. Yeah, it's on my website. If you go there and click on the China piece I just published today, just put on, you'll see the link to CNN. And Wolf Blitzer has Trump on. I'm sure he was confident that he would give the typical Illuminati response to the beautiful trade structures of China. But no, Donald Trump just flat out took Blitzer and everybody else in the media to task for mollycoddling, so to speak, the chairman Hu. And I like what, Wolf was taken aback, and he looks and his eyes were like, you can see the surprise. And he says, well, come on, Mr. Trump. He said, you've got to realize that China is our banker. They own trillions of dollars in U.S. debt. They own the notes. And he says, you're a businessman. You've got to be kind and nice to your banker, don't you? And Trump basically said, that's different, Wolf. You just slap a 25% tariff on China, on Chinese goods flooding America, and watch how fast we get out of debt with them. Amen to that. I got holy mackerel. That's of course. He just basically said, look, China is not our friend. China is our sworn enemy. Tomorrow on my show, I'm going to be talking about this little-known event in 1968 where the Chinese and the North Koreans basically took over a United States ship, tortured the crew, held them for many months. This is the USS Pueblo event. I hadn't understood this. I read a report that was just, again, resurfaced after the chairman whose visit. Holy mackerel, Don. Why didn't talk about an act of war against America in 1968? Why didn't we respond at that point? It didn't seem like it was even in the news media much.
Yeah, it's I think it's a combination of a couple of things. Number one, they want us to live in this perpetual fear of communism, when in reality we're inching into it every day ourselves. This idea that, well, you got to look over here, the bogeyman's over there, so that's the enemy, and they certainly wouldn't bring that out because of all the things going on behind the scenes. How does one accumulate trillions and trillions of dollars of debt? Does it happen overnight, or does it happen over decades? Especially when the dollar was worth a lot more than it is, even though it's all fiat currency. But, in terms of the collateral backing it, whatever that should be.
Indeed. I just, while we were talking, I this is quite a large report. It's 184 pages, and it's broken down into a multiplicity of volumes. Don, this is the report that we discussed that was on the earthquake event. It's called an M7.7 event, whatever that means. It has some interesting graphics on this thing. We're talking, holy mackerel! I've never seen anything like this. They're pegging exactly where the epicenter is going to be, where the large amount of dead are going to be. You have the on the bottom of each page. You have the logos of the Mid-America Earthquake Center. You have FEMA logo. You have Virginia Tech's logo with their 1872 pillars. You have the Institute for Crisis, Disaster, and Risk Management at the George Washington University with their worldwide logo, okay, controlling the world. Incredible. I've never seen anything like this.
The following program has been brought to you by.
It flat out blows me away looking at this thing. There is a lot of money, obviously put into this to produce this. You're talking about one table here, Missouri liquefaction susceptibility. It shows completely where the land base would be liquefied. You have where water will flow. This is amazing, Don. I had no idea this was this in-depth.
Now, you've done research, and you know people who are researchers, scientists, and what have you. How can people not know what they're researching or what they're developing? These people at these foundations and institutions of higher education that are busy putting all this together. And I know they do compartmentalize things on some level, but somebody somewhere has to have all the pieces of the puzzle put together and realize what's going on.
I just, look at all these different states. My question to you, Don, is, to anybody listening to this show, are these state officials, are the counties and small towns, are they aware of this report? And this because it shows even to the depth of fire and emergency crews damaging and availability. I mean, this is a major report system here.
Oh, they can always run an exercise and call it something other than what it is. You know, like a terrorist disaster drill. And when an earthquake is occurring, the first thing people are going to think is that bombs are going off. So, I mean, it's speculation on my part, but why would they tell these people?
It has maps of all of, like, starting with Tennessee. Here, I'm just looking at the Tennessee one. It's got Tennessee police station damage. New Madrid seismic zone. You have the Tennessee Fire Department station damage. You have all of these things mapped out as to which will be effective, which will be okay. There's listed critical area points where their damage would be certain. Then you go. These are in brown dots. Certain damage, likely damage. The more you go to the east here in Tennessee, you see, moderate to unlikely on the eastern part from, Benton area. But down in the right along the fault line, this is completely wiped out. They have this all mapped out to a large degree of certainty, Don. This is stunning.
Well, you probably weren't aware that most geologists take continuing education and they learn to channel and prophesy. So,
man, hazmat facilities damaged. On and on we go. They've taken this. Oh, here's a good one. Tennessee casualties at 2 a.m. New Madrid seismic zone M7.7 event. they have these counties in, and they have it in every state here, Don. I'm just picking out Tennessee. The hardest hit is Memphis area, with casualties at 2 a.m. They estimate 21,480 casualties in Memphis. Oh my goodness! This how do they get these numbers?
Well, what does the M stand for? Is it 13, or the number 13, or does it stand for Maser or microwave?
Stands for M7.7 event. Is it 7.7 earthquake, Richter scale? I don't know, but this is oh my heavens. I can't imagine. Again, I work with the state of Utah, and I haven't for years, in planning for the Wasatch Fault earthquake. They say will happen. It's going to happen. They say they just don't know when. So they have these emergency planning sessions. But I guarantee you, it's nothing like this detail. Absolutely nothing like this.
I'm reminded of the Carole King song. I feel the earth move under my feet. I feel the sky.
We're talking about, again, each state involved. This next map is Tennessee's potable water outages. I mean, on we go. I mean, this is just really amazingly complex.
Do you have that entire map? Or is it just some of the events?
Okay, well, it's the entire map. But you go to the website is www.ideals.illinois.edu. There is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 parts that are very large. I mean, this is, again, it's called Impact of New Madrid Seismic Zone Earthquakes on the Central USA, Volumes 1 and 2, Part 3 through 5. And it has the impact of the New Madrid Fault Earthquake, Central USA. This, again, what has Virginia Tech got to do with this with this report? Don, this doesn't smell right at all. I'm sorry. My heavens.
Yeah. Well, I can speculate on a couple of things, but we'll go off on another tangent for an hour.
It says, just the abstract, the information presented in this report has been developed to support the catastrophic earthquake planning scenario workshops held by FEMA. Four FEMA regions 4, 5, 6, and 7, were involved in the New Madrid Seismic Zone Scenario Workshops. The four FEMA regions include 8 states, namely Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi, Arkansas, and Missouri. The earthquake impact assessment presented hereafter employs an analysis methodology comprising 3 major components: hazard, inventory, and fragility or vulnerability. The hazard characterizes not only the shaking of the ground, but also the consequential transient and permanent deformation of the ground due to strong ground shaking, as well as fire and flooding. This is again, I don't know how many millions of dollars they spent with this thing, but even mapping the bridges being destroyed, bridge inventories, on and on and on. Something's amiss here.
Now, you mentioned 7.7, the Chilean quake of February the 27th, 2010, which occurred at 3:34 a.m., probably at that time to catch as many people inside of buildings as possible, was an 8.8 on the Richter scale. Kind of interesting, huh?
Yeah, I don't know why they were with the 7.7 M. is. It's just speculation, but the bottom line is, there's not
Speculation
is this. These reports are here. I'm looking at them, and I've never seen anything quite as prophetic as this probably will turn out to be.
Yeah, there's a video, pretty interesting, that came out with some seismological graphs. The language is a little bit too dicey, so I wouldn't play the audio, other than, you know, the speculation of what's going on and the fact that this is happening around the world too. It's not just here. But there is certainly something planned, and there's something going on. There's no doubt about it. The thing is to not fear. Fearing it is not going to help you. You know, taking precautions. What precautions must one take? Well, it's like any earthquake preparedness, tying cabinets, attaching cabinets to the walls in a way that they don't come flying forward or sideways as the ground is shaking. If the building is going to stand, you know, then you have some safe places to be inside, especially if it's occurring in the middle of the night or early morning hours while one is sleeping. Fearing it is not going to accomplish anything. But
how about this, Don?
The attention of the public that this is being planned.
Speaking of that, did you happen to view that Ready.gov film called The World Upside Down? Did you happen to see that?
No, I haven't, I have to say. I see that every time I go outside.
Well, those people listening, if you haven't yet seen it, go to YouTube or just any search engine and just type in World Upside Down and just see what comes up. It's on YouTube. You can watch it. This is a branch of FEMA called Ready.gov. The whole purpose of this, they say, is to get people to contact them to get a 72-hour planning kit. Now, there's actually two versions of this. There's one for the white Caucasian audience, and then there's a African-American family with the same exact set. When you watch it, Don, I want to just point out a couple things to you. Here, you know, it starts out with just a young lad in his, you know, probably his early teens. He's sitting there watching the TV on, you know, the sofa. But there's something that's way out of place, in my opinion. This is a Tyrannosaurus Rex dinosaur figure. You know, this kid's too old to be playing with these dinosaurs. But here is this Tyrannosaurus Rex. The camera focuses from the kid for just a few seconds. It focuses on the Tyrannosaurus Rex, and then suddenly the world turns upside down. It basically, everything starts crashing to the ceiling. It's quite a bizarre graphic of special effects, Don. And after it all settles on the ceiling, there's the voiceover. What would you do when your world is changed and turned upside down? Contact ready.gov. I understand this ad campaign will be starting in February.
Well, does it surprise you that they would have a reptilian in the...
Don, you got to see that. If you haven't seen that, I'm really surprised, but you need to. I think it'll make your jaw drop. It did mine, I guarantee you. I thought, my goodness, it's right there rubbing your nose in it. Wow.
Well, and the only thing is that's missing is the Lou from Hulu. We have Who, right?
Yeah. Knock, knock. Hulu there. But, you got to have shake your head and just wonder. You know, plausible deniability factors go in. I mean, what a perfect way to really take this country down by such an event. Look at the maps, Don, again. when this liquefaction of the soils, look at the dropping or opening up of the fissure. The map that I'm looking at now shows the extension of the Gulf of Mexico clear up to pretty much the Canadian border, and we're talking about 300 miles of ocean now separating this country. To get to the west from the east, you have to go up around up into Canada and go around, or take a ferry across this. This is an amazing scenario they're projecting here.
I wonder where or when CoreXit will figure into the mix. You know, with more water.
I don't know. Well, it's something to think about, and don't get your intestines all up in a wad.
Oh no!
This is a bad dream.
You're talking major diverticulitis here.
I mean, to tell you what, I guess some people will look at this and just think it's all a big joke. But and yeah, I can understand people saying, well, I can't worry about such a drastic event. If it happens, I'll just assume die. I've heard that so many times from people. I said, well, that's your choice. But again, you know, they'd rather not worry at all. You know, don't worry, be happy type of thing. But man, oh man.
I'm not at all implying one should not be prepared or be cautious. You should always be prepared for things. Always. I mean, just because this news is coming out now is a reason. If you get my meaning, it's
yeah. What I'm just saying is, if in fact we're accurate with our assessments, Don, that this is being purposely created, I submit that we got to just make sure this is exposed and put an end to it. I mean, whatever means possible.
Well,
means possible.
Yeah, we have to look at American police force and where they plan to be stationed.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
indeed. Well, with that, I'll just probably need to sign off. And
okay, well, I was just about to close the show, so timing is immaculate. The website is atrueot.com. The radio show, the story behind the story, heard Monday through Friday on the microeffect.com. True, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. And you are my only guest next week, since there's only one more day left next week.
Ah, there you go.
So we'll
what? See. What? I mean, there's not going to be a Tuesday?
Not in the month of January, after tomorrow.
Well, that's next week. It's a week. It's going to February, but I know what you're saying. I'm just giving you a hard time. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. Good night, Don.
Okay, thanks, Drew. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and tonight's guest, Dr. A. Truott, Ph.D. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network and over at BBS Radio, Seth Hendrick on the sound. I want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my guest will be Mr. Michael Anthony. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.